I want people to know that it's not all just doom and gloom, right? There was heroism, there was people fighting back, there were people saving lives, there were people who saved dozens of lives. So it's some of the stories are connected. We met one guy who saved dozens, who fought back with a pistol. We'll talk about him later.
Ultimately, this play is actually very uplifting. I know that sounds bizarre, but these people are extraordinary. Amazing. All these different people, Israelis, who had survived, who were heroes from every kind of walk of life.
Hello and welcome to the Anne and Phelim Scoop. I'm Phelim McAleer.
And I'm Anne McElhenney.
Yes, so instead of our regular podcast this week, we are devoting the whole podcast to announcing our new project. It's one of the most important projects we've ever done. We are producing a play that's going on stage in New York in May. It's called October 7th. So finally, we can reveal why we went to Israel.
Yes.
After October 7th for several weeks. It's going, as I say, it's going to open
in New York in May. We're also going to film it, by the way.
Yes.
And it's going to be available to the public. And in the fall, we're going to bring the play to Harvard, Princeton, and beyond.
Yes.
UPenn. We won't stop there.
Every Ivy League college that needs to know the truth about October 7th. Now, and it's, I don't know if I mentioned, it's a verbatim play.
This is really important, actually,
yeah.
The point that, yeah, that it's a, that, that this is verbatim.
Yeah.
You remember we went to Israel back in November, quite soon after the October 7th massacre, and we travelled all over the country and interviewed a lot of people.
Yes, we spent about 3 weeks there getting to know people, interviewing those who lived through the days. Through that day, we heard amazing stories, we heard tragic stories, we heard moving stories, and we heard heroic stories. You know, all of these stories are unforgettable. And believe it or not, we even heard humor.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But just to tell you exactly what the play is, it's a verbatim play. And that means every word you will hear on stage is an actual word said by an actual witness. There's no added drama. There's no editorializing.
It's 100% verbatim. So
yeah.
The only voices you're hearing are the voices of the people who lived through that extraordinary day, through that massacre, what they witnessed, what they experienced. And as Phelim said, we've got heroes as well. Extraordinary people who saved countless lives.
Yes.
And put themselves on the line. Some of them, you know, who didn't, and some people that you'll hear about who did not survive, who had saved people. It's extraordinary. And there, as Phelim said, there's no editorializing. There's
yeah.
No drama added. It's just the voices of those people played by actors on stage in New York. We're going to film it, we're going to take it on the road, and it's coming to a town near you.
And we need to tell people where they can see it, right? It's going to be in the Actors Temple Theatre, 339 West 47th Street, New York, New York. The first performance is going to be May the 2nd. It's going to run to June the 16th. Opening night is May 13th. Opening night is May 13th.
By the way, it's a 200-seat theatre. It's a beautiful theatre. It's also, by the way, it's a synagogue. So on Friday nights, we don't have a show, but we have a show on Thursday nights, on Saturday nights, Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
But look at, we're going to give you the website in a minute. You're going to be able to look, find the dates, and you're going to start buying your tickets.
So go to October7theplay.com. October7theplay.com. You'll get.
I've got a quote here, Phelim, that I think is worth just when you talk about verbatim, right?
Yes.
When you're talking about verbatim, there's a great quote here, by the way, from The Guardian, by the way. Verbatim drama at its best is aesthetically indistinguishable from high art. And we know this because we've done this before.
Yeah.
So we produced the Ferguson play, which played in New York and it played in Los Angeles. It was so powerful that the actors walked out because they didn't like the truth
yes.
about what had actually happened in Ferguson.
Yeah, the left-wing LA Weekly, they called it incendiary but powerful. The truth always is, and that's the amazing thing about verbatim theatre. When I've noticed when you go to the theatre and it's a writer, you know, just a play with added characters and added drama, you're sitting back listening to that's interesting what the writer did there and what the actor's doing there. When you see people at a verbatim play, they're leaning forward.
And we literally had that.
They don't want to miss a word.
We literally had that. When we had I remember really distinctly when we were in, when we had Ferguson here in Los Angeles, and Anne Coulter was in the front row, and she was one of those people leaning in
yes.
to hear every last word. Dennis Prager as well, who his review, by the way, of Ferguson was just extraordinary.
But we've done it with other plays. We did it with the Gosnell story. We did the trial of Kermit Gosnell, put it on in New York. That was so powerful. The venue cancelled. We did FBI Lovebirds Undercovers, which is more more humorous, but a very, very serious matter about the fake Russia collusion story.
And the theatre cancelled us on that too.
Yes, that was the text messages of Strzok and Page, their communications together as they had this affair, the FBI lovebirds who had this affair, but also plotted to take down Donald Trump before and after he was president of the United States. So a very, very important topic. And it really drove the left crazy. And I think it was because we were entertaining people. We were laughing at them. But we were also getting a very, very serious point out in a very, very entertaining and communicable way.
The story I just remember about that performance a lot of stories stand out. Clearly, one of the most significant was the fact that Donald Trump invited us to the White House, to the Oval Office, as a result of that play. But before that even happened, I remember we're getting on the flight here in Los Angeles to go to Washington, and with Dean Cain and Christy Swanson, and we found out that the theatre we were supposed to be performing in, like the next night, cancelled on us. Yes. So at the very last minute, we had to scramble to find a new theatre, and we did. Yeah. And actually, we suddenly had this massive bill because the new theatre was expensive. We wrote to you guys and asked for help, and you guys responded.
I think before the plane landed. Now, it's a long flight from LA DC.
You're right.
And I think we had to raise an extra $25,000 before we landed. The money was raised. So that's the kind of support and crowd that you are.
Yes,
and
we love you.
This
for it.
Play is
it's probably the most important thing I think one of the most important things we've ever done.
Yes, so we just want to tell the truth, you know, and Ireland has a very interesting relation.
That's another word, Phelim. Interesting is one word. I don't know if I'd use the word interesting. I would say shameful history in relation to the October 7th story. So we're actually even more proud to be the people bringing this story to everyone. So we've already attracted massive talent, by the way, to this project. The director of the play will be Karen Carpenter, who's a renowned Broadway director. She directed Nora Ephron's play Love, Loss and What I Wore, which was, by the way, which was huge. It broke all kinds of box office records. Yep. It ran for 3 years. It won the Drama Desk Award for Best Unique Theatrical Experience.
So this is, I mean, people are really, really interested in this play in New York. Again, if you want to know the dates and times and book tickets, go to October7theplay.com. Also, if you can't go to New York, and I know that's a lot of you can't go to New York, you're not in New York, you can donate.
Yeah,
right.
It's super important.
Yeah, donate to make this it's one of our most important projects we've ever done. It's also one of our most expensive projects we've ever done.
Because we have some security concerns, Phelim, as well as everything else, by the way.
Well, it's not cheap putting on a play in New York either. But yeah, security is an issue. We're going to make sure that people feel safe and secure in the play. We're going to have
in the theater.
So go to October7theplay.com. There's a buy a ticket button and there's a donate button. They're both very important.
And you can do both, by the way.
Yes,
don't hold back.
Yes.
So the establishment, I mean, the reason, why are we doing this? You know, you might say to yourself, why are we doing this? We're doing this. And as you know, I mentioned already that we're Irish, so I think we feel particularly compelled because of that as well. We were also in Ireland on October 7th and were shocked really by, you know, friends that, you know, people we know very well in Ireland, just lots of ordinary people in Ireland who were immediately actually talking about, you know, the Israelis have turned off the electricity in Gaza. We heard people say that. You know, not one person, a number of people said that to us. So we realized even on October 8th that the world and the establishment and the media establishment particularly wanted everyone to look over there, you know, as opposed to look at this extraordinary massacre that happened.
Let's just remind people, this was in a country, I think, of 7 million, 1,200 people were murdered, men, women and children. 250 were kidnapped. Thousands were injured. I mean, they shot up, they massacred young people at a dance festival. The most liberal people who are probably
very pro-Palestinian.
The most pro-Palestinian people in Israel. They didn't care. They were Jews. They had to die.
And just when you mention, Phelim, when you mention hostages, you know, and obviously there was 250 hostages. Today, as we record right now, there are 130 hostages. And I just want to play some footage there, Phelim, as I'm talking about that. You know, this footage we took, by the way, at the airport in Tel Aviv, and this, you know, was just extraordinary. You know, we were just arriving in Tel Aviv and we, you know, walking along one of those walkways and they had put up these posters to remind people of the names and the faces of the people who were held hostage. And if you look as this piece of footage just plays on, you'll see that there's someone, and it really affected us. There's a young person sitting at one of those pictures. We don't know what the relationship was between that person and the person mm-hmm. in the photograph. But this is an ongoing story. This continues to be a breaking news story. The world still talks about ceasefire, constantly talks about ceasefire, while there are 130 people still held hostage. No one knows how many of them are yeah. still alive. What we're going to do in this play, what you're going to hear in this play, and obviously, remember, we're also going to film this and release it later online, is you're going to hear the stories of the people who lived through that day. You know, and one of them, let's go through a few of them. We're not going to go through all of them.
I want people to know that it's not all just doom and gloom, right? There was heroism that day. There was people fighting back. There were people saving lives. There were people who saved dozens of lives. So yes. It's layer upon layer of stories. Some of the stories are connected. We met one guy who saved dozens, who fought back with a pistol. We'll talk about him later. And he saved dozens of people. So then we went and interviewed the people he saved as well. Yeah, so yeah. This story connects and connects and connects and tells this amazing little tableau of
the
day.
And just when you say that, Phelim, actually, you know, I mean, I think one of the things, I think it's really important to say what you just said, actually. And ultimately, this play is actually very uplifting. I know that sounds bizarre, but these people are extraordinary. Amazing. Really amazing. It was a privilege, by the way. Now, you know that word gets used in all kinds of awful ways. Yes. But I can tell you, from my point of view, it was a privilege to get to meet these people. All these different people, Israelis, who had survived, who were heroes from every kind of walk of life. One of the people that stands out to me and that you'll hear and you'll get to know during the play is Shani. She's 25 years old, very beautiful. She's a model. She has a very beautiful boyfriend. We saw photographs of him. She was at the Nova Festival with three friends and she survived. And you see a photograph of her there. That's her on the day. And you can see as she told us, like, really, you know, that's, she was dressed for a party. She ended up spending hours and hours and hours cowering with her friends underneath a very thorny bush, which had really long, like these had these, yes. We have photographs of that. You can see a photograph there of one of her friends underneath the thorny bush with these thorns that were, you know, basically sort of 4-inch long thorns. She is so courageous, by the way, and brutally honest, describing what happened to her. And she describes the extraordinary man, Leon, who saved them. And that story, our interview with her went on for 3 hours, and Leon subsequently was murdered by Hamas in front of his own son. She, by the way, Shani, just to understand, she, after experiencing all of this, she has rejoined the IDF. She has re-enlisted as a combat medic.
Yeah, extraordinary. Because she felt she didn't do it. I mean, it's crazy. Like she was fleeing and she noticed people getting shot all around her. And she wanted to stop. And her friend said, look, the first rule of a combat medic is you have to survive. You can't
help anyone if you don't survive.
Yeah. So we don't want to tell her story. She's very good at telling
her story.
And this is the thing. These people are much better at telling their story. I mean, Itamar, a police officer down in Afakim.
Adorable. Look,
so we traveled all over Israel, north, south, east, west, where everyone was, because you know, a lot of people were at the festival. A lot of people. Israel's a small country. You can drive it in a few hours. So Itamar down in Afakim, close to Gaza. He is a police officer. He had one pistol and 9 bullets. He killed 2 Hamas terrorists and rescued and saved dozens of people on that day. He is a force of nature. But even he feels guilty that he didn't save more people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very traumatic experience for a lot of people. He saved one shoulder. He came across one person who was shot 7 times, as he said, and he started saying the prayer for the dead over him. And then it was a soldier called Dennis, and Dennis suddenly pops up and says, I'm not dead, stop praying. I've only been shot 5 times, you know. And he was going, I think the people in the hospital thought he'd been the victim of an explosion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dennis survived, believe it or not, after being shot 5 times. I think he was shot 5 times by 3 different terrorists as he fought back.
And so, Itamar tells the whole story about, it's just really brilliant, and how he drove Dennis. And he described how close the hospital was to Afakim, and whatever the distance, I can't remember the distance now, but exactly, he did it like in 7 minutes or
yes.
something.
And Dennis, we speak to Dennis. We go and interview him. We interviewed, there was another family, the grandmother, Michael.
Yeah, so yeah. So again, back to Itamar, who was just extraordinary. I mean, he had also saved a family. So, you know, you'll get to hear Michelle, who is a grandmother whose family were saved by, first of all, saved by her son, who did not survive, but who saved all of them, by the way. And it's an extraordinary story. You can see some footage right now. I'm showing a little bit of footage right now of how they were eventually saved.
Yeah.
They hid underneath a solar panel. It's an extraordinary story.
As you
she
say,
is an amazing person.
As you say, Anne, the first good use of a solar panel.
That's what I said. Maybe too early for a joke, but yes, the first good use of a solar panel. This family
in
got
history.
out on the roof of the next door neighbor's house and hid under the solar panel. They were then saved by this extraordinary Itamar, who we just adore, and what an extraordinary man. You'll get to hear him tell his story, as well as obviously Mikhail and Michael. This is another guy we met.
So, we really need you to support this play. We need a crowd at the play. And we need to make sure we have enough money to make this the show that it should be, to tell this important story. So please go to October7theplay.com. Buy a ticket, buy your friend's ticket. Take a group. It's a big theatre. We need to fill it. We don't want people saying, oh, no one's interested in this story. We need to fill the theatre. Or donate at the donate button there and help bring this to fruition. I mean, we met other people up at the... where there was a place up in northern Israel. Near Caesarea, where they would bring survivors from the dance party to meet other people from the dance party. And when we were there, we met Michael, whose daughter, Rachel, was murdered on October 7th at the dance party. Rachel was an amazing woman.
Amazing.
Michael told the story. Michael, he's from Russia, or Russia originally, but he told an amazing story of... He got a message from Rachel and then nothing. And then he immediately went online looking at Hamas propaganda channels. And there on a Hamas propaganda channel saw his daughter lying wounded on the ground. And he was, of course, a combat medic. And he knew that if he didn't get there, she was going to not survive. So he drove.
He jumps in the car and he describes exactly what happens after that. It's an extraordinary
story. It's an amazing story.
You see, there's a footage of... Actually, you know what? Let's play this little piece from Michael, because when we were there, you know, some of you will remember, and it's actually become kind of newsworthy now, Leo Varadkar is no longer the Prime Minister in Ireland.
Yes.
He's been replaced. But you might remember that at the time, back in November, with the hostages, there was an Irish child.
Emily
Hand, who was being held hostage and luckily was released in one of the swaps that they did.
Yes.
And Leo Varadkar, tone deaf, idiotic Leo Varadkar.
Can I just object
there?
All right. I'm not sure he was tone deaf. I think he was speaking for the domestic Irish audience. You know,
maybe.
He said, it's great that, in a tweet, Emily has been lost and has now been found. And it's like, and as everyone in Israel goes, she wasn't lost. She'd lost her mother first a few years ago. Then she had a stepmother who was murdered in front of her.
Yep.
And then she was abducted by Hamas and held under threat of violence for weeks, and she wasn't lost and found.
No,
she was abducted by evil people. So.
So Michael, this wonderful father, the father of Rachel, who we met, who was suffering himself, decided he'd like to say something to Leo Varadkar. Here's what he said.
My name is Michael Zilberman. I'm father of Rachel Dove, who was killed, brutally killed by Hamas terrorists. And I was more than surprised when I heard Mr. Prime Minister of Ireland, Mr. Leo, whatever, I don't really can say his last name, that he told that finally, somehow we found out the girl, you know, like she was a little suitcase. And we just lost her in some airport, and then somehow we just found her. Mr. Leo, I'm trying to find some nice words for you, but there is no nice word for you. She was kidnapped, and her parents was killed. And this is it. There is nothing to say to you, you know? Just shame on yourself, because my daughter, she was killed. And the other girl, you didn't find her. She didn't get lost. She was kidnapped. Shame on you.
Look, the stories are amazing. The people are amazing. The play is opening for previews on May the 2nd. The opening night is May 13th, but there's lots of shows in between that, in between May 2nd and May 13th that you can go to. So it's going to run from May the 2nd to June 16th. It's mostly at the weekends, but there's special days as well. So the best way to find out what night you could go to is to go to October7theplay.com. You'll see all the nights there, all everything. And there's some special times too. We're going to put it later on a Saturday night, etc. So it's be careful and choose the night that suits you, but please come.
Please get your friends, people that you know in New York or that live in the tri-state, as they call it, the tri-state area, who could get into New York on time to see it. Please encourage people to come. We really need the theater to be filled for every possible performance. Again, to remind you why you should donate, we're going to film this and release it later so that the whole world gets to see it. But we're also going to go to Harvard, to Princeton, to the University of Pennsylvania, to all those places where those young people desperately need an education in what actually happened on October 7th.
So yes, October 7th, theplay.com. It's a very, very important project. It was an honor and privilege to go to Israel to record this testimony.
We're really proud to be bringing this to you. It's extraordinary. And I have a quote here that I think is really, you know, relevant from L.A. Wessel, who's obviously the very famous Holocaust survivor, who said, "To forget the dead would be akin to killing them a second time. We will not let that happen." Please go to October7theplay.com. October7theplay.com. It's in the show notes. It's on the screen now that you can see it there as well. October7theplay.com. Donate, buy tickets, and share. The two things we need to do is share this information with everyone you've ever met and everyone that's in your database.
Yes.
And buy tickets, and please donate.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much.